Sleep is vital for health, mood, and memory, but many of us don't get nearly enough. Join us as we discuss sleep health, debunk popular myths and misconceptions about sleep, and provide insight on how you can get a better night's rest. With me today is Dr. Pamela Swift. She's a clinical psychologist and behavioral sleep specialist for the UVM Medical Center. Welcome to Health Talk, the health news, information, and wellness podcast brought to you by UVM Health Network, delivering trusted local care and a network of expertise to more than 1 million people in Vermont and Northern New York. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran. Dr. Swift, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. The first question that I had is kind of a broad question, but what exactly is normal sleep?
Yeah, it's a great question. And thank you for having me on here today. I think about normal sleep as being defined in a couple different ways. So there's the quantity of sleep that you're getting overnight, the number of hours that are expected of us to get optimal sleep. That varies across the lifespan. So, you know, starting with 4 to 12 months of age, we're aiming for somewhere between 12 to 16 hours of sleep. 1 to 2 year olds, we're aiming for 11 to 14 hours. 3 to 5 year olds, we're aiming for 10 to 13 hours or so. And all of those age groups include naps as well in that 24-hour period. Then once we get to the childhood range, 6 to 12-year-olds, we're aiming for about 9 to 12 hours. 13 to 18-year-olds, we're hoping to get somewhere between 8 to 10 hours of sleep, though that can be challenging in adolescence. And then 18 years and older, we're aiming for roughly 7 hours or more, so typically between 7 to 9 hours. So that's the quantity piece for normative kind of sleep. But then there's also quality of sleep. So how refreshing is your sleep? Do you feel good when you wake up in the morning? Do you feel like you have decent energy that you can keep throughout the day? Cognitively, do you feel like you're functioning pretty well? You know, all of those point to pretty normative sleep that's probably being achieved overnight.
Got it. That totally makes sense. And I maybe want to unpack that, I guess, quantity of sleep and how you feel when you get up. This kind of leads me to ask, like, what exactly would you consider abnormal or suboptimal sleep? Is that just less hours than you mentioned for the given age group, or is it something different?
Yeah. It could potentially be as simple as fewer hours than what would optimally be achieved for that age group. So it could be that short sleep kind of experience. Suboptimal sleep, though, could also be poor quality sleep, very fragmented sleep. You know, when we're in a solid, consolidated sleep window and we're sleeping pretty well through the night, not waking up extensively, then we're going through all of the stages of sleep really well. So light sleep, deep sleep, REM sleep. If we're waking up a lot, then we're oftentimes not going through those stages appropriately. And that can make it feel like we didn't get very good sleep overnight. Even if we did get 7 or 8 hours, if it's broken up, it doesn't always feel great. Another kind of suboptimal thing could also be as simple as the timing of your sleep. So are you going to bed too late and not giving yourself an optimal amount of time to sleep at baseline? Are you finding yourself waking up too early or not meeting what would naturally be the timing of your sleep that your body would want? Those things could all lead to a poorer sleep period.
Okay. And I've also heard of like REM and non-REM and I guess the different stages of sleep. Do you have any thoughts around the quantity of time spent in those stages versus not and how that applies to optimal sleep?
Yeah. So typically we're spending a different amount of time in each of those stages. So light sleep, we're probably spending somewhere between 10 to 15% of our sleep in light sleep. That's stage one. That's like the falling asleep, the kind of head bobbing sort of experience of going in and out of consciousness. Stage two sleep is where we spend most of our sleep. It's still considered relatively light sleep, but we're getting a lot of our time there. Somewhere around like 60% of your sleep could be spent in that stage. And then deep sleep is where our brain is really very quiet. It's at rest. There's not very much activity going on there. That happens mostly in the first half of the night. And it's probably, again, somewhere around like 10 to 20% of our sleep that's happening for good, healthy, normative sleep. And then REM sleep is more in the second half of the night. That's dream sleep. It's where physically your body, the muscles aren't moving, but your eyes are darting back and forth. REM stands for rapid eye movement sleep. And some people can experience remember dreaming during that stage of sleep too.
So what are some red flags that people should be aware of when trying to determine if they're actually experiencing too much sleep loss or that non-normative sleep that you're talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that could be identified, especially during the day. But one thing I always encourage folks to consider is that it's normative sometimes to not sleep well. And so, like, let's not put too much stress on that. If it's a short-term kind of experience, a short-term stressor, or you're traveling, transitioning between jobs, homes, things like that, then it makes sense that your sleep might suffer a little bit. And that's okay. If it's happening for a longer span of time, if you're showing more signs that your daytime energy is starting to really deplete, you're feeling very sleepy during the day, or your concentration is really starting to suffer, or your mood is starting to dip, you're more irritable, all of those things could point to, hey, now we're getting into something more chronic, more severe. And if it's happening where your sleep doesn't feel good, you're not getting enough, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep, waking up too early, at least 3 times a week for more than 3 months, then that's what we would call insomnia disorder. And at that point, we want to do some things to try to treat that. And so it's worth bringing up to your primary care provider or a specialist that you may be speaking to. We also want to be really mindful of some of the other organic things that can happen with sleep. So some of the other red flags around suboptimal or concerns around sleep could be snoring loudly. If you're waking up gasping for air, trying to catch your breath, if you have really restless sleep, or if somebody is telling you that you're pausing in your breathing overnight and you stop breathing, those could all be signs of another sleep disorder or other sleep disorders in general. And so you definitely want to be bringing those up to another provider.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, you know, up at the top of the episode, I mentioned some sleep myths that we might subscribe to. What are some popular myths that you hear often? And please take this opportunity to debunk, especially the ones that I might believe.
It's a great question. I hear a lot of them. I hear a lot of times when folks are first seeing me, one of the things that we tend to do when we are not sleeping well is we spend more time in bed. So like, okay, I'm going to go to bed earlier. I'm going to start my bedtime routine earlier. I'm going to just get into that space 1-2 hours before I plan to. That is how we can actually see people develop insomnia, because now they're spending time in bed not sleeping. And so really, oftentimes what we do is counterintuitive. We tell you, go to bed later, go to bed much later than you planned. I also hear people frequently trying to catch up on their sleep on the weekends. So I had a terrible week. I only slept 5-6 hours a night. I'm just going to let my body sleep as late as it needs to, Saturday, Sunday, try to catch up. That process just doesn't typically work super well for many folks. What we tend to see is maybe on Saturday, you're okay. You wake up, you feel refreshed, like, okay, finally I caught up. Sunday, when you sleep in, you then have a really hard time going to bed on Monday night, or Sunday night into Monday morning, rather. So, you know, you haven't been awake long enough on Sunday to actually sleep that night. And so the thing that we really recommend as sleep professionalists is actually you should keep the same wake-up time on the weekends. You need to be as consistent as possible. And your wake-up time is the one thing you have the most control over.
Okay, got it. So I guess as a clarification, we've heard about this sleep debt before that can accumulate over time. And I think what you're saying is that it doesn't work the same for everyone. It's not like you can just rage all week, no sleep at all, and then that debt is accumulated and then you just clear it the next week, right?
No, yeah, it doesn't work that way for the vast majority of people. The best way to get your sleep back on track after a poor week of sleep or a poor couple of days would be to keep your schedule very, very consistent and wake up at the same time each day.
One more clarifying point is if someone tries to, for example, go to sleep early and they're just laying in bed, and let's say they're wide awake, it's been an hour, do you recommend that they just get up and start doing stuff until they feel tired?
Yeah, that's actually, it's one of the skills that we use in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, which is a really well-validated treatment for insomnia. Take a break from bed. You know, it's not happening. Your body isn't ready to sleep yet. So, okay, fine, body, I'm going to listen to you. Let me take a little break and I'll come back to sleep soon.
Okay, that's helpful. And I guess staying on that same line of thinking, can you just talk to us about the steps that most people can take to ensure that they get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So especially if you're first starting to notice that your sleep is getting a little wonky or it's going a little bit awry, it doesn't feel as good as before, definitely check out your environment. Is your bedroom dark? Is it cool? Is it quiet in that space? Is it comfortable? Are you starting to use some behaviors during the day to try to benefit your sleep at night that actually could be doing the opposite? So drinking a lot of caffeine to try to energize yourself, or taking a long nap during the day. That initial check-in on those sleep hygiene kind of recommendations can be really valuable at the start of sleep concerns. If it's been longer, though, if you've been experiencing sleep concerns, insomnia-related concerns for more than that 3-month span, then you definitely want to be talking to a provider and get a referral to meet with somebody who has some expertise in managing insomnia and the behavioral treatments that are valuable there, like cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. It's a very well-validated short-term treatment, and it works for a lot of folks to help benefit their sleep and just undo some of the patterns that we've gotten into with poor sleep. I think the other ways that you can be mindful and kind of benefit your sleep is if you do notice any of those other organic kinds of concerns, like the loud snoring, especially. Sometimes people will bring that up half jokingly, like, oh, I snore so loud that my partner can't be in bed with me. And it could be endearing and sweet, but it could also be sleep apnea. And so we want to be mindful and get those concerns assessed more closely with a sleep medicine provider.
Got it. So just last question before we close here. Given everyone that you've seen and helped through sleep, what is one thing that you know to be true that you wish more people knew?
Set the same alarm time every day. That is my one like high horse piece of advice for folks, is that that can be such a valuable way to reset your rhythm, is that if you wake up at that same time, regardless of how your sleep was the night before, then what'll probably start to happen over the course of a couple of days is it'll start to reset. Your body will start to recognize that I need to get more sleep. Okay, now I'm ready to go to sleep at the time that I feel is more appropriate at this point.
Fascinating. And the perfect place to end. Dr. Swift, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Pamela Swift, a clinical psychologist and behavioral sleep specialist for the UVM Medical Center. Join us next time as we discuss another important healthcare topic. You can find us online at uvmhealth.org/healthtalk. And listen to us for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again for listening. I am Prakash Chandran, and this has been Health Talk by UVM Health Network. Until next time, take care.